It was like to begin discussing the Inyan that was another one of the Chidushim by Rabbi Nachman, and perhaps one of the greatest Chidushim, which is tied, as you'll see, it's tied together with the Nakuda of his existence and what he was bringing to the world and what he brought to us. The Inyan of Rosh Hashanah by Rabbi Nachman, the Inyan of the urgency that Rabbi Nachman expressed in his desire that we were learning last week from the different places in the Ksavim, from Rabbi Nelson, different places, and the urgency that was communicated by Rabbi Nachman in his desire to see to it that all of the Chassidim would be with him for Rosh Hashanah. And we understand and we learned that he expressed his concern that would continue, that would continue after his Ptira as well, after he would leave the world also. And we learned inside the page that I gave you, I hope you brought Lakuta Moran's that they have, that we were talking to Chlal about we saw the story of the young man who was a very great and promising Talmud Chacham, and he wanted to go to the Tzaddik, and we read the whole story about from the Sipur Maisius about how his father in the end did not bring him, and as a result of that the young man passed away. And it turns out that whole mania, that whole obstruction that prevented the meeting between this young man and the Tzaddik was really coming from the Samach Mem, from the other side, from the Sitra Achra, because that chibur, that connection between the Yehoshua and Moshe, between the Talmud and the Rebbe, between the Chassid and the Tzaddik, that chibur, which Rabbi Nachman understood to be the chibur, as we spoke about last year, we learned in the sixth Torah, the chibur of the moon and the sun, and the entire geula, when the story ended, that the redemption depended upon that meeting that would take place between the Rebbe and the Talmud, between the Tzaddik and the Chassid, that was not necessarily referring to the redemption of the Jewish people and the geula of the entire world, but the redemption of the individual. That each person's redemption depends upon that chibur, that connection that he has to the Tzaddik. So, if you have the pages, which I hope you have in front of you, if you look at number 6 on the page, on page 2, number 6 on page 2, there's a Torah which Rabbi Nachman focuses also on the relationship between the Rebbe, between the Tzaddik and the Chassid, or the disciple, the Talmud. This is a very, very remarkable Torah that deals bechlal with the whole subject of suffering. The main focus of the Torah is the union of suffering. It's Samach Hei in the Kutim Aran, which we're going to Mitzvah learn, hopefully this year, a little bit later, we're going to learn the entire Torah of Samach Hei. But just this piece, you'll see, again, you'll see how Rabbi Nachman understood the significance of the shidduch between the Rebbe and the Talmud. In 6, he says, Da, kiyesh sada. Rabbi Nachman said, you should know, I think this Torah is translated into English, there's one of the booklets that they put out was on this Torah. Da, kiyesh sada. Rabbi Nachman said, you should know. We have a Kabbalah, I once told you that whenever Rabbi Nachman said Da, when he said you should know, it means that it's a Torah that comes from the highest place of Atzilus. When he says the word Da, you should know. All of his Torahs come from a very great and exalted place, but when he says Da, and you should know, it means it comes from the highest place possible for a human being to go. He says Da, kiyesh sada. He said you should know there's a field. V'sham gidelim ilonas v'asavim yofim v'noy ma'oy. And in that field, there are growing very beautiful trees and beautiful fields, grass. Yofim v'noy ma'oy, very, very beautiful. the Goydel Yikar Yofi Hasada, and the great beauty, the preciousness of the beauty of that field, Vigidulov, and all that's growing in the field, Iyef Shalasapa. It's impossible to tell over. It's impossible to describe the beauty of that field. Ashrei Ayin Ra'as Hazois. Fortunate is the eye who has seen this field. V'ilonos Va'asovim. And there are trees, and there are different types of grass. Heim Bechinas Neshamas Kedoshes. These are holy souls. Hagadelim Sham. That are growing in that field. V'yishkama V'kama Neshamas Arumais. And there are a number of naked neshamas, unclothed neshamas, shem noim v'nodim, that because these neshamas are in need of help, they weren't able to complete what they needed to complete, and they are waiting for a tikkun, they're waiting for help. So these neshamas that are called neshamas arumais, that they're not yet clothed, these neshamas shem noim v'nodim chus l'sod, they are going back and forth. They are wandering. Sometimes these neshamas sometimes are wandering outside the field. Umamtin umitzapim al tikkun, and they are waiting and they are longing for a tikkun for rectification, for repair. Sheyuchlu loshuv liikanes al mekaimam, so they will be able to return, to go in and to remain forever in their place, inside the sada. V'gam afilu neshama gedoyla shebatluim kama neshamas, and there is also a great neshama upon which this great neshama, many of the other neshamas depend. And lefamim k'shehi yaitzeis l'chutz, and sometimes when the neshama, this great neshama, goes out of the field, koshla lachzol l'sham, it's difficult for this neshama to return. V'hem kulam mevakshim umetzapim abal hasod. Even if it's a great neshama, there are certain, even sometimes a great neshama, that has a hard time getting back into the field. And what is it that they're asking? What are these neshamas arumas, these suffering neshamas that are journeying back and forth, that are wandering back and forth? What are these neshamas asking for? And what are they longing for? So it says, V'hem kulam mevakshim etzapim abal hasod. They're all waiting and longing for the master of the field, the bal hasod, the master of the field. Sheyuchal l'sasik b'tzarech tikunam. Because the master of the field, the one who's in charge of the field, is the only one who's able to be misasik, to take care of what they need to be repaired, to be fixed. And the Baal HaSadeh is always working very hard and watching and trying to water all of the trees and to help them grow. And all of the repairs that need to take place in the field, every single word here is so amazing. There's so much. We're going to come back to it. We're going to talk about it for a long time. But just the Yisaidi says, one of the main things that the Baal Hasad has to watch out, that the master of the field has to be careful of, to watch, is that each plant should have room. That one should not go in and grow into the other one, but each one should have its own space to grow, its own way to grow. That's what every parent has to be careful. Every Rebbe, that's, each person is a little bit of a Baal HaSada. The Tzaddik is a Baal HaSada of Neshamas, living and from the dead. That each Neshama, he says, L'harchik ha'ilona zemizah ha'chok ha'ru'uya, that there has to be a proper distance between each of these trees. Shlo yachish echad eschaver, so that one should not weaken and sap the strength and destroy the chances of the other one's growth. that the Baal HaSodah has to be careful to be Mashgiach on that. Now this all sounds, from Samachay, this sounds like a very mystical thing. And you can imagine like a very practical person seeing these words and saying, what are you talking about? Massive, what kind of field is this, and trees and beautiful, and how does a tree wander out of the field, and the neshamas harumas, they're naked neshamas, and they're waiting for the Baal HaSodah. The Baal HaSodah tends to them, care and with love and great care, he watches after them. Of course, it's all a very, very, very deep marshal for the work of a tzaddik in this world. And Rabbi Nachman saw himself as the master of the field, and that's how he tended to the neshamas that were under his care, both those who were alive and both those who were no longer alive. We'll talk much more about that. When Rabbi Nachman would pass by, especially when he would pass by fields, and especially where there were fields and orchards, where there were a lot of trees and leaves, Rabbi Nachman was overwhelmed with the crying and the screaming of neshamas that he heard in the fields. They were coming from the neshamas that he actually saw and he felt and he was worried about and worked with and davened for and so on. This was not something from the imagination. To us it sounds like like fiction and poetry. Chas v'shalom. To Rabbi Nachman live with this feeling of responsibility to countless neshamas, that the master of the field is not only responsible for those who are in this world who are under his care, but even for those who are no longer in the world. And in a certain way, even for those who have not yet come to the world. And it's a very, very big Indian in his tires. Kopanim, if a person thinks that Rabbi Nachman's intention was in this kind of a teaching, or saying these kind of words, was to deal with people in some sort of an unclear or mystical way, he was sharing his own experiences, and he shared, as he did so many times, he shared with us what he lived with. But as far as how were tikkunim to take place among the living, to begin with, among those who are living, because how the tikkunim took place with those who are not living is not something that it's for us. But how Rabbi Nachman understood that tikkunim have to take place in this world, so take a look at 7. And here you see that it wasn't mystical at all. Rabbi Nachman was not mystical at all in his practical day-to-day approach of how to deal with Jews. Vahayi Yedeya is all from Rabbi Nosson says. Vahayi Yedeya lo says tikkun mekol echad v'echad kifi sharish nishmasai. Rabbi Nachman knew how to give each and every person tikkunim, to repair their lives. Each one according to the root of his soul, Rabbi Nachman would give. You know, a lot of people share with me experiences that they've had by Mukubalim. And a lot of the people here in the shul know that in general I'm not in favor of going to Mukubalim, and they should all be healthy and well. The two or three who are legitimate, and even the hundreds who are phonies, they should all be healthy and well. I'm not in favor of it. But one thing over the years that comes back to me very strongly is that you'll have people that they'll come back and they don't know other people that go, but I know hundreds of people who go because they come to talk to me about it, especially since they're hearing a lot of weird things and they come to talk to me. I would say that there are certain so-called mukabalim, they're not real, the so-called mukabalim, that when every single one of the people that they've gone to them over the years comes to talk to me over the last 20 years, they each share with me the exact same tikkun that he gives them. It's a pella that each Jew that ever goes to this person needs the exact same tikkun. Besides giving $100, he also needs the same, that's a different type of a tikkun, he also needs that same tikkun that neshama needs. That all the neshama of our generation have to say the same kapitel tehillim, or have to do the same, somersault by Kiddush Levana, or whatever it is that the tikkun is. They don't know. All kinds of funny things. It's a pella. When you go to a tzaddik amiti, a true tzaddik gives each person a tikkun according to the sherish of his neshama. It's true there are some general tikkunim that the generation needs that are good for everybody. So if someone tells you to say a certain kapitel tehillim, or someone says tikkun kloli, or someone tells everybody to try to go to mikvah, of course those are tikkunim that all the neshamas need. But then But then each person needs specifically a tikkun for the shayosh of his neshama, to be oisik in certain mitzvahs, to be oisik in certain things to learn, to be oisik in certain tikkunim that have to do with ben adam l'chaveiro, ben adam l'malkum, and certain midas, and certain... There are very, very, very great differences between each of the trees that are growing in Hashem's Baruch's garden. And the tzaddik knows what each one of those trees, what each one of those flowers needs in order to grow. So the tikkunim that Rabbi Nachman used to give was to each person according to the shayrish of his neshama, the root of his neshama. But that doesn't mean that they were mystical tikkunim. It doesn't mean that they were weird things. Not at all, just the opposite. Look inside. Rabbi Nachman wrote this. V'chol ha'dvarim shetziva, v'ahaya inyan yisaydais. He never ever gave people, he never commanded them to do things that were sidais, that were mystical or mysterious. He did not give sidais to people. L'kavein kavanis v'yichudim. He did not instruct people to have all kinds of Kabbalistic kavanis, yichudim, and so on. Like, you know, the famous Maisa when they came to the, when the Baltakeya and Badichev passed away. So the Badichev said that he's auditioning for a new Baltakeya. So hundreds of people came online to come to the Badichev. Each one wanted to have the schus to be a Baltakeya, to blow shofar in Badichev. Can you imagine? So each one, all these people lined up, and the Badichev asked each one, what do you have in mind when you blow shofar? This one says, you know, things. And that from the Hari and from the Harishash, all kinds of things. And there was finally one year that says, I have in mind that Rabbi Shalom helped that the sound should come out right, so that that everybody should be Yotzei, and maybe the Rebbe will give me a few dollars, a few rubles, after Yantar. So Vadichva said, that's my man. That's my man. He's the one. He's the Baal Tekei in Vadichva. So Rabbi Nachman gave tikkunim without Seidus, and without all kinds of Yichudim and Kavanas. All of the types of behavior that he commanded, he demanded of his followers when they came to him for tikkunim. And remember that Rabbi Nachman kimat did not deal with gashmi's dikkur things, that wasn't his line. In other words, you know, that my cow's having problems with milk and so on. That wasn't, there were tzaddikim with the Isaac in that. Rabbi Nachman was a piece of elokus. Everything was in Avodas Hashem. And therefore, Zerakol Hanagos Shetziva L'Mekarav Hayu Inyanei Avdus. All the things that he gave were things that were not mysterious. He gave each person tikkunim according to the shayos of his or her neshama. And all of these tikkunim were in ways of serving Hashem. So there was a certain person that needed to fast in a certain way and for a certain amount of time. So he gave that person and to many, many people, he used to help them that they should go to the mikveh, to Teufel, on days we don't say Tachnum. Many people, he saw that their neshama is dependent upon learning, upon saying 18 chapters of Mishnayos every day. And there are different hanhagas that he instructed his followers regarding things to learn. One person he said, you have to learn this. Another person he told, you have to learn this. There was a general expectation he had from all of his followers. He wanted all of the men, because he's talking about the men, that all of them should learn Paisik b'chol yom. They should learn halacha every day. He wanted everybody to learn halacha every day. I feel beyond she'en lo pnai yilmaid al kol panim eizes if shulchanarach b'chol makam shehu. Even if he had no time, it was a very, very busy day, he demanded that everybody learn at least one paragraph of Shulchan Aruch. At least one seif of Shulchan Aruch. And they do that to this day. More preferably to learn a page of Shulchan Aruch, to learn it if it's possible. But to learn every day some halacha. Haklal. Shalakol echad v'echad tziva hanhagas miyuchadis. Each person he gave specific hanhagas, specific behaviors, things to do, Kfi masha hayitzarach lasaken, each person according to what he had to fix, masha pogam, what that person damaged, each person needed a tikkun according to what that person's, what the pogam and what the problems were that this person caused. Kfi sharish nishmasai, according to the sharish of his neshama. V'yesh hanhagis klogis, there were general hanhagis that he wanted for everybody. There were things that he wanted of all of those who were near to him. He had different hanhagas for the ilam, and he had different hanhagas, specific hanhagas for the individuals that came to him. And as I said before, Rabbi Nachman saw that this hiskashrus, this connection between the Rebbe and the Chassid, the Rebbe having the responsibility for all the trees and the grass that was growing in that field, and the Rebbe was the Baal HaSada, the Tzaddik has this responsibility for the Chassidim after those Chassidim leave the world as well, and davening for their neshamas, and all kinds of tikkunim with learning that the Tzaddik would do, and other very, very mysterious things that the tzaddik would do in order to help to bring a tikkun to that neshama. This Torah of the Baal HaSada that speaks about this connection, this Torah has a story, like we learned last Zman. All of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs have a rekka, have a background. It wasn't that Rabbi Nachman was just sitting and thinking of ideas that are interesting. Rabbi Nachman's Torahs are all the consequences of things that he was going through and things that he was living through. So, this in particular, if you look at 8 on the page that you have, and here we begin to see that this Torah that we just learned, this tiny piece of this Torah of the Baal HaSada, the master of the field, that this was in a way preparing the way for the eventual trips that would be taken to Uman. This was the beginning of preparing that way, the road that would lead to Uman. Which this week there are thousands of Jews that are going. Look at 8. Bishnas Tov Kuf Samach Vav, 1800. B'chay Sivan. Niftar Benoi, Rabbi Nachman writes this, Niftar Benoi, Hayelet Shlom Ephraimzon. In the year 1800, Rabbi Nachman's child, Rabbi Nachman's son, Shlom Ephraim died. Rabbi Nachman had a lot of tzaros nachmas nefesh with the health of his children and his own health. And Shlomo Ephraim passed away. This was a very, very crushing and devastating thing. Rabbi Nachman saw in Shlomo Ephraim the future of the entire universe. It wasn't just his child. He saw a lot in Shlomo Ephraim. And he died. Oz hischil ledabri imanu. From that time, after Shlomo Ephraim died, hischil ledabri imanu, Rabbi Nachman began to speak to us. Me'inyin tikkun haneshamas. Then he began to speak about helping the neshamas. Me'inyin habal hasada. The inyan of the master of the field. Who helps the neshamas, meaning in that field, even the field of neshamas means after people have already died. Sheyesh sada, shegedaylam by neshamas, that there's a field where neshamas grow. Utsichim bala sada lasakhtam, the bala sada has the responsibility to help them. Vezesh achayge masnav, liyaz bala sada, yeshlav yisum habibli shir. Ibn Achmed said that whoever strengthens himself to become a bala sada, to have this job, to be a master of the field, whoever strengthens himself to reach such a madrega, where he has this job of being a Baal HaSada, Yeshulav Yisurim Harbe Blishia. This person experiences terrible, terrible Yisurim, suffering like Rabbi Nachman had, Blishia, without end, terrible suffering. Whoever becomes a Baal HaSada, right, any of you have been considering the possibility of signing up, the Baal HaSada, Rabbi Nachman says, whoever does, is Yeshulav Yisurim Harbe Blishia. Endless suffering. May us, and from that time and on, after Shlomo Ephraim died, may us diba harbe me'in tikkun haneshamas. From that time and on, Rabbi Nachman spoke a great deal about tikkun haneshamas. about helping neshamas in the other world. Ubefrat, and especially Acher Shabar mi Lemberg, especially after he returned from spending some time in Lemberg, Befrat beknisos el Uman, and then especially when he came and he settled in Uman. Shekol knisos el Lashon. The entire decision of Rabbi Nachman to move to Uman, to come to Uman, and why he chose Davka to die in that place, Rabbi Nachman expressed clearly his foreknowledge that his life was going to end soon, and he disclosed to Rabbi Nosson and some of the closer Talmidim that it was absolutely necessary that he die in Uman and that he buried him and that he be buried in Uman. Hakol hayamachmen zeh b'shvil tikun haneshamas atzichem tikun mikama meyas shanim. This was because Rabbi Nachman wanted to continue as the Baal HaSoda after he would die. To be in Uman meant to begin his work with the hundreds and hundreds of Jews that were slaughtered in the city of Uman. In the year 1760, there was a big shechita, the pogroms, the Cossacks murdered a few thousand Jews in Uman. The cemetery in Uman, that whole area is without matzavas, without stones. The whole area is filled with these Jews who were killed al Kiddush Hashem. And Rabbi Nachman, after Shlomo Ephraim died, expressed this need to take care of Shlomo Ephraim's neshama there, and to take care of the neshamas in the city of Uman, who were killed in that shechita of Tammuz in Tov Kuf Chav Hei. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman began to explain and began to teach that after he would die, that by coming to his sion, that by coming to his grave in Uman, and by saying certain things, and especially the Tikkun Klali, which we'll talk much more about, and by engaging in certain avodas, especially Rosh Hashanah, which we'll talk about, of course, in a little while, that this would have a tremendous, tremendous ability to facilitate him in his continued efforts to be able to help all the neshamas that are there in Uman, and all the neshamas of anybody who would come to him, who would come to daven by his sion, davki in that place. And he writes, Rav Nosson, Kisham be'uman nehergu nefashos rabos b'lishir. He said there were countless Jews who were killed in Uman. V'kam yilodim alofim rovos shenergu kaidem zmanan. And amongst those, there were many, many children who were killed before their time in that pogrom that took place there. It's the tzaddikim, all these tikkunim that they are engaged in for those who left the world, and even for those who are going to go through different things. And I once told you that there was a great tzaddik, Beberish L'Ushpitzina, you know, Ushpitzin is Auschwitz, and Beberish L'Ushpitzina, they bring down in the Akdoma from his Sefer, which I saw a long time ago. In the Akdoma, I don't have it, it's not, maybe now it's maybe it wasn't in print. I saw it in the library. And Rabbi Shlosh Basina has in the Akdoma that the Rebbe Abzushia, you know, I told this to you when we were talking about the Rebbe Abmelech, the Rebbe Abzushia, you know, they used to go from place to place, the two tzaddikim, as we learned. Rabbi Elimelech and Rabbi Zushi, the brothers, would go from place to place, and they were also all kinds of tikkunim. And when they came to Ushpitzin, when they came to that place, Auschwitz. So they never stayed, they only slept one night. They never slept more than one night in any place. That was what they accepted upon themselves, their goals. And it says in the Sefer was written, of course, long before the Holocaust. And they came there, and then in the middle of the night, they were lying down. In the middle of the night, the Rebbe Zushi woke up and he started screaming. And he said that they have to leave. And the Rebbe Miller said, it's the middle of the night, we'll leave in the morning. And the Rebbe Zushi said, we can't stay another minute. He says that the screaming of what's going to be in this place. He says, I can't stay here. So that was in Auschwitz, and that the Rebbe Zushi already, you know, that the Rebbe Zushi, you know, 130 years before, that the Rebbe Zushi felt already what was the upcoming shechita that was going to be in that place. But the tzaddikim are so sensitive to the suffering of neshamas. The Baal HaSadr feels the pain of the neshamas that are going back and forth and that are wandering and so on. So this would become, this began to become a very important inyan by Rabbi Nachman after Shlomo Ephraim passed away, and he began to teach the Torah of the Baal HaSadr. And if you look at number 9, Rabbi Nachman says, "Ki ze ikin nisiyasi." And the main purpose, Rabbi Nachman said, of my journey, she'eyeh al Rosh Hashanah etz Baal HaSadr, that I intended in my journey to go to Uman, so that I could be next to the master of the field, next to Rabbi Nachman, Ashu Masakin Neshamas Amesim V'Chayim, who is busy all the time fixing the neshamas, those from the living and those from the dead. And Rabbi Nachman would say, Rabbi Nachman said, Rabbi Nachman said that even those neshamas that he was unable to help the entire year, but the Rosh Hashanah, he says, but when it came to Rosh Hashanah, he's able to saken mishiyavaylov, anybody who would come to him, he could help in Rosh Hashanah. That Rosh Hashanah, he was able to help everybody. So, obviously, in order to understand this properly, we would have to learn the whole sugya of Ishtachus and Kivei Tzadikim. What does it mean to be by the grave of a tzaddik? Bichlal. So many people have asked me about that, because a lot of people go to tzaddikim, go to graves, and they're not quite sure what's going on over there, what they're supposed to think, what they're supposed to do. So I had a mashava that maybe I'll talk about it, you know, Shavuos, remind me before Shavuos. I was going to remind me that I said this now. It's not God forbid, another or anything like that. I'm just saying that a lot of people are asking me, maybe I should talk about it. So just, like, you know, maybe a couple of weeks before Shavuos, remind me, it would be a good thing to spend the night at Shavuos to learn the Inyan inside the Svarim and to do it properly in Halacha and Chassidus and Hashavah, to understand what the Inyan is of going to daven by Tzadik, by the grave of the Tzadik. It's a very, very big Inyan. And obviously we can't go into that whole Inyan. The question that we have to deal with right now, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. We can only begin. We'll continue after Yom Tov, because next week it's going to be something that I'm not going to have this year. But we'll begin now. The question of why Davka Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah? That Rabbi Nachman said that Rabbi Nachman makes such a big thing about Bechlal, the master of the field, being with the master of the field, all the tikkun that he could give to the living, to the dead, and by being by the tzaddik, and so on, and all of this whole business of Moshe and Yeshua and the sun and the moon, all of that. But why? Okay, to say that we're here, but why Rosh Hashanah Davka? Why Rosh Hashanah? And the rise that Rabbi Nachman saw, as we learned last week, that the nekuda of his whole neshama and who he was and why he existed, he said was Rosh Hashanah. And in order to answer that question, obviously we'd have to learn the whole subject of Rosh Hashanah and Rabbi Nachman's Torah, which is a huge inyan. And we don't have time to do that. But there is one Torah that we're going to just learn a little bit from, because this Torah is probably, I think maybe not, but I think this is the main headquarters of this point of what Rosh Hashanah was to Rabbi Nachman. There are a lot of things where he talks about it, and certainly with the Talmidim talk about it, but in the second chelik of Lakuta Maran, Lakuta Tinyana, in Simen Hay. So those of you who have Lakuta Maran, it's a Torah that's called by the Chassidim Tikkun Emuna. Tikkun Emuna. This Torah was said by Rabbi Nachman of Rosh Hashanah of the year Tavkuf Ayin in 1806. Rabbi Nachman said this Torah. Now, what brought about this Torah? As we learned that everything by Rabbi Nachman is something was going on. What was going on? So if you have the Qumran, open up to the second chelik Kutat Tinyana, Tikkun Muna, which is the fifth Torah, in the Ois Tes Vav. We're not going to go in order. We're going to learn a little bit, not even in order, little pieces. So if you have Tikkun Muna Simen Hay in the second chelik, Simen Hay Ois Tes Vav. And then you look at page right, there's a paragraph that begins with the words, Ki be'emes tzvichin dafnu l'salik esamayim. Anybody find that yet? Second chelik, fifth Torah, Tikkun Muna, Ois Tesvav, paragraph begins with Ki be'emes tzvichin daika l'salik esamayim. Some of you have that? Yeah, good. Anybody have a look around there? Good. Okay. What precipitated this Torah? What brought to this Torah? On that Rosh Hashanah, there were many people for whatever was going on in the world at that time, in that world of the Jews, in that miserable part of the world. So apparently, it was a very, very hard year, and there were many of the chevra that came for Rosh Hashanah. They got together and they came through to Rabbi Nachman on Rosh Hashanah, and they were crying to him. What were they crying to him about? They were crying to him that they felt what hurt them with all the tzaras they had during the year, but they felt that their emuna wasn't strong, that they had a chesaron. They weren't doing well with their suffering. It was terrible. It says, Rabbi Nachman said that many of these people had such modna machlis, crazy sicknesses, that there were a lot of people got sick that year, and they came to Rabbi Nachman, and they didn't even come to cry about the machla, about their sickness. They were crying. They came. They cried to Rabbi Nachman that the machla is terrible, but the ikka that's bothering them is the emuna. They don't have the emuna is not strong enough to give them the kalim to cope with the sickness, with their sicknesses, the emuna. And that this was hurting them more than their own suffering with panos and with the sickness. This was hurting them. So listen what happened. Rabbi Nachman listened to them, and they were all crying. Rabbi Nachman sat there and he was listening to them. And they were crying for a while. And then Rabbi Nachman said, "No, it's getting late. We have to go to Tashlich. To go for Tashlich. To go to the water for Tashlich." And a very, very strange thing happened on the way to Tashlich. And he didn't talk to them at all about it. He just heard them, and he said, "We have to go to Tashlich." And they were going to Tashlich, and the whole oilam came. If Rabbi Nachman can imagine, everybody came. They were walking to Rabbi Nachman Tashlich. And on the way, as they got close to the water, it was very muddy over there, and Rabbi Nachman fell. He fell into the mud, and he was covered completely with mud. And he didn't say anything. And they helped him up. He really wasn't well, and they helped him get up. And they brought chassidim, of course, brought a new malbush to put over his clothing, something, and afterwards, and they water and to whatever he went to clean, to wash. And after that, Rabbi Nachman came back and he said this Torah. He said this Torah. The Torah from beginning to end is the secrets of the universe that he said to speak to these Jews and to all the Jews that were there. But he was responding. He was responding to the crying of these Yidden. And Tikkun Emunah, the whole Torah of Tikkun Emunah, is the secret of implanting the koyach to infuse oneself with faith, especially in Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Nachman saw the reason that Rosh Hashanah was the biggest thing for Rabbi Nachman is because Rabbi Nachman's whole inyan in the world was emunah pshuta, it was simple faith. And Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Nachman saw that Rosh Hashanah is the makar, is the source of emunah pshuta, simple faith for every Jew. Tikkun Emunah is the sharish of emunah for each and every person. And in the Torah, we're going to see things. Just we're only going to read. We're going to read a little bit. Let's just start to read. We're not even going to go in order. Just a little bit. Look at this paragraph. Keep emes sich and dafel asalik asamayim. Nachman says the truth is that one has to learn how to drive away his brains, the salik asamayim, the intellect, to push away the intellect. One has to know how to throw away all chachmas, all cleverness, all chachmas, all of his intellectual musings and cheshbonos and chakiyus. V'lavad Hashem bepshitus, to serve Hashem bepshitus, simply. Kitzar, we spoke. Remember last Zman we spoke about the 10 mamaris. The 10 utterances of creation, you remember a little bit? The 10 utterances of creation before the Torah was given. And the tzaddik has to sometimes be a prestak, you remember, to be a poshita person. So he says, Kitzar shiyu masav merub michachmasav. Says in the Mishnah that a person's good deeds, a person's actions of holiness, have to be more than all of his intellect, and all of his wisdom, and all of his thoughts. V'lo ha midrash hu ha'ikr, and Chazal say, the main thing is not what you know. Ela ha'mais, the main thing is what you do. V'al kein tzichim l'salik kol ha'chachmas. Therefore, a person has to drive away all chachmas. The Rav wasn't saying that we shouldn't learn Torah and be scholars of Torah. God forbid. He himself was, as you know, an amazing Talmud Chacham, and so are many of his students. Are Nassim's of Gain Island. That's not what it means. Chachmas, cleverness. The way that you think the world has to run, and the way that your life is supposed to be, and so on, all your cheshbonos. The salah kol ha'chachmas, the lav des Hashem pshitus, bli shum chachmas. Lo mivar chachmas or shtus. Shostam b'nei adam. He says, not only am I talking about the chachmas of shtus, of narishkeit, where people have stam b'nei adam, the stam people have all kinds of, but they consider to be big chachmas, of how things are supposed to be. Where people sit around deciding and discussing all these things. But he says, Ela afilu chachmas gmuras, even real chachmas, chachmas gmuras, things that are real chachmas, the salik asamayim. Afilu mishiyesh lomayah gadol ba'amis, even a person who has a very great intellect. Kshemegila is avayda, when it comes to serving Hashem, when it comes to the time, you can think about things all you like. Thinking, Rabbi Nachman held very much from thinking. But when it comes to doing, you have to know how to be masalik all the maichim. To throw away all the chachmas. Kshemegila is avoidim, it's time to do something that's right. To do something that's the Rosh Hashem. Hutzarach lahashla kol chachmas. You have to throw away all chachmas. The last like bavados yisbar v'pshitas. Not with kavanis nichudim and all kinds of fancy things and what. And this, v'pshitas, without chachmas. Hutzarach hafilas nai glasses dvarim. And you therefore have to do things. In Avodas Hashem, Shinirikim Meshuggah, that will make you look like you're crazy. Even if you look like you're a Meshuggah. You look like you're a Meshuggah. Vishil Avodas Hashem. For Avodas Hashem, even if it's to do with the Pshitas, even if everybody says, well, you're some kind of idiot, you think that's what God wants, you think that's, if it's what the Torah says, and what Shulchan Aruch says, and what your Rebbe says, and that's what you do, the Pshitas, on Chachmas, even if you look like a Meshuggah. The love that a person is lovesick and crazy. You do crazy things. You do crazy things in your love. You tell somebody that's in love. The guy tells, you know, says his colleague decides that she misses him. You know, and it's 4:30 in the morning, and he has to get up for sleep because it's 6 o'clock. I'll be there in a half hour. What do you mean you'll be there? You have to get up for sleep because it's 6 o'clock. That means you're going to go see your beloved for 15 minutes. It's kedai. Someone says, you're crazy. You won't be able to say slichas. You won't be able to, you have a test that day in school. You won't be able to take your test. Akasha, v'ahavos ha'tishgatam. It's akasha. When there's ahava, when there's love, then the avoidus of the pshitas, and without any chachmas, it says total, it's a total siluk of all kinds of chachmas. There's all kinds, a person has all kinds of chachmas, why he shouldn't go. Like we saw in the story that we read last week, that the chachmas not to go to the tzaddik. Why? Because he made a thing that if something happens and the wheels broke, you remember? The wheel of the wagon broke. Oh, you see, it's not to go. And all these different, they're always chachmas. Shebishvila, habas Hashem, sikhan, asas, dvarim, and irki, shigoyim. because of one's love for Hashem, you have to be prepared to do things, even if they look like a shigon, like it's a madness, like it's crazy. To do Hashem's will. A person has to be prepared, if necessary, even to roll in all kinds of filth and mud. And he said this right after he fell into the mud, which was understood. He didn't fall. Rabbi Nachman threw himself into the filth, and after he said Tashlich, he came and he said this Torah, that to be a Yid means, if you have to be a Jew means, even if it means throwing yourself into Shmutz and rolling in the mud. Kol mini refesh v'tid, what a person goes through in this world, all kinds of bizyonos and difficulties to be a Jew, and even the inyonim with his averus, that if you wouldn't be a Yid that's working in yourself, you wouldn't have to feel guilty. Guilt is itself a type of filth, a type of shmutz that a person doesn't want to deal with. So when a person doesn't want to feel guilty, he gives up his Yiddishkeit, and he can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to feel that he's dirty. He can wear a necktie and a suit. I can go to some schmutz, or he could be sitting in his office and turn on a button and be in the biggest schmutz, and he doesn't feel that he's dirty at all. Everything is nice. You ask him, are you a bad person? Why am I a bad person? Everybody does this. And it's perfectly normal. I'm a healthy person. Everybody does this. But if you're a Yid, then it's a life of rolling in all kinds of mud. If you wouldn't be a religious person, if you wouldn't be a God-fearing Jew, you would feel that you're sparkling clean. But all of us are coming now to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, so we have to deal with so much mud. If we wouldn't care, we wouldn't be religious, and we wouldn't care about the Baruch Shalom, so it would be perfectly, everything would be nice and clean. Nice and clean. Everything would be nice. Just like you have those people that they don't want to have children because they want to have nice, clean houses. And if they don't have children, then they'll have nice, clean houses. And to be a Jew means to roll in the refish and the tit mamish, to be in the schmutz and the filth, but to be a Jew and to do the right thing. But I'm not going to be able to go to sleep at 10:15 and read my novel, because it bothers me if I have to worry about that. I have still dishes I didn't clean, and there's a mess, and so on, and then I have to cook for this and to do that. Chol minei refish v'tit. It's not only the mud that's by tashlich. And all of the guilt that a person has to suffer with, and to feel that he's walking around all the time, all kinds of films of filth over the year. That people that don't care about their Baruch Shalom, they don't feel that. They feel very good about themselves. They feel fine. They do all kinds of disgusting things, and they don't feel there's any, that they picked up any dirt along the way. Everything is nice. But a Yid b'emes wants to be an Oved Hashem. He always feels that he's Isaac and Refesh and Tit. He always feels that he's got schmutz and things. Schmutz. A person looks at something he shouldn't look at, and afterwards he feels, there could be such a thing. But that's what a person has to be. B'shvil avodas Hashem zbar. U'mitzvoyser yisbar. V'lav davkim mitzvah mamish. And Menachem says, I'm not only talking about an actual mitzvah, to be prepared to roll in the dirt for an actual mitzvah. Ela kol davar sheyesh bo ratzon Hashem yisbarach. Anything that the Baruch Shalom wants, even if it's not clearly a mitzvah, but it's ratzon Hashem yisbarach. Nikra mitzvah. Rabbi Nachman says that's also called a mitzvah. A lot of times I say to people, someone says, well, I don't see what's wrong, I didn't hear that, it's not clear to me in halacha that this is. So they say, do you think that the Baruch Shalom wants you to do that? So what do you mean? It's not clear to Mishabuah. I understand it's not clear to Mishabuah. I'm asking, do you think that the Rebbe Yisrael has nachas ruach from one of his children doing this thing? You know, you have to disagree when you have a discussion with somebody about the, you know, television, things like this. So it's like, maybe it's not us, could be that this is. I said, oh, I don't know. Don't start, you know, when someone says, you know, I saw this Talmud Chacham that does, now, you know. Says, what do you think the Baruch Shalom wants? What do you think the Baruch Shalom wants? Do you feel comfortable and confident saying that the Baruch Shalom has nachas ruach from that? You must at least admit that it's questionable whether the Baruch Shalom has nachas ruach. In all likelihood, if you knew the Chofetz Chaim is going to be in your house in 15 minutes, you'd shove it under the couch somewhere, throw it down into the basement. In all likelihood, not even it's kivah Hashem lishpait the zaras. Not only the Baruch Shalom showing up in your house, which he's there all the time, but if the Chofetz Chaim would come, you'd be embarrassed. I remember once I was My wife showed me this. She was reading an article. What's the name of that guy? There's a Yid. He's a very Jewish name. He made a lot of movies, and he has a Yiddish in the Shaman. This Spielberg. Spielberg. He also did for the Holocaust. I don't know his first name. My name is Spielberg. Steven Spielberg. That's right. So his mother, I think, his mother has a kosher restaurant. I don't know if she still has it, but in Los Angeles, but the mother has a kosher restaurant. So my wife was once. Showed me something. It was very, very funny, but very upsetting. It was very funny. So they were talking about his Jewish upbringing. That his mother has a Shomer Shabbos restaurant, but she's not really religious. But she has, you know, whatever. They had mashgiach, whatever. But it's a kosher restaurant. So obviously, she's a Heimish person. She's for years and years and years. She has this kosher restaurant someplace, a Milchik's restaurant, I think, somewhere in Los Angeles. And Steven Spielberg said that, you know, it was very, very important to maintain a good relationship with the rabbi, because he was giving ash. So he says that he was once with his mother when he was a kid, and they came home from the store with groceries, and he brought in the groceries, and they had brought lobster. They were not kosher. They brought lobster, and Spielberg says how all of a sudden they see the Rav pulling up in the driveway, coming to stop by to talk about something, and she screams at him, "Quick!" You know, because they have these bigs there, and the Rav was right there. So Spielberg said that I shoved the bag under the couch. What's going to happen? So he's describing how the Rav is sitting there across talking. He's, you know, there's a beard, there's a nice elachid, and he's talking. And Spielberg sees, and the mother notices that the claws are coming out. Shalabadik. And the claws are reaching out, and the mother's looking like this, and he starts to try to shove this thing in, and it keeps on, it's coming out, you know, underneath. A person that lives in two worlds, that lives in two worlds, so you don't have to feel guilty. I'm not masig. It's just a question of not getting caught. Everybody knows what happened this past Kufa in Muncie, which is a stain on Klai Yisrael that's, I can't even talk about Barabma. You don't hear me talking about it because I can't even talk about it. I spoke to my wife about it, and to my father, and to my son-in-law, but it's just, the person that did this is the Baal Tekei in his shul, and was teaching a Daf Yomi in his shul. And it was davening Yom Neroim for the Omid, and he was giving thousands and thousands of Jews tarfas to eat. I don't know if he himself ate that tarfas. I don't know, but he gave thousands of Jews. A person that's not with the Rabbanu Shalom, I don't know what kind of sickness that was, but a Jew who's not with the Rabbanu Shalom, so he doesn't have to feel bad. It's just a question of getting caught. That's all. It's a question of getting caught, but to go to sleep. Shalom alaynafshi b'shirus libi eilech. That a person doesn't have to, but a yid who's an eilech yid, every minute of your life you feel like you're covered with refesh v'tit. You feel like you're covered with mud. And Ibn Achman says, on anything, what's the Rasan Hashem? Whatever the Rasan Hashem is, what do you mean? If it's not clearly a mitzvah, it's not a din, but it's you ask yourself, what gives the Rasan Nachas Ruach? What does Hashem's Baruch want? What makes Hashem's Baruch happy? Am I giving nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shlom? Ki yesh tayag mitzvahs, ve'lo tayag mitzvahs, yesh lahem anof ma'ab. He says, the mitzvahs, of course we have the ferish, the mitzvahs, 650 mitzvahs, but each mitzvah has many, many branches reaching out. Chol davar yesh bo ratzon Hashem zoch, and all of these branches and all of these leaves and flowers and all these things that come from each mitzvah. It's not necessarily the ferish in the Mishnah Berurah or clear in Shulchan Aruch, but it's the Ratzon Hashem. And a Jew who's living a life of Torah becomes sensitive to what's the Ratzon Hashem. What's the Ratzon Hashem? So someone could say to you, someone will say, it's not an Aveira, is this an Aveira what I'm doing right now? Where does it say that it's an Aveira? Someone could say, it's not the Ratzon Hashem. That only person who lives with the Ratzon Hashem can feel what's the Ratzon Hashem, not the Ratzon Hashem. For this too, Sha'isim b'nachas ruach l'od v'shu shemayim. That a person has to be prepared to roll in all kinds of filth and all kinds of mud to give nachas ruach to Hashem's ruach.